This is Alive with Joseph.
All right, let's get straight to the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 5 in verse 1 to verse 7. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 5 in verse 1 to verse 7 because of our time. Let's read it together so that nobody falls asleep while standing. Can we do that together? All right, let's go together. One, two, go. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. In verse 6, and when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And let's do verse 7 together to everybody. This is how so blessed you will be. And verse 7 will be your portion. Have you ever been so blessed that you're looking for people to share it with you? Sweetheart, do you know what that means? Have you ever been so blessed and you're like, sorry, girls, can you come to my house tonight? I don't know where to keep the shoes. I've just been buying them. I don't even have a place to keep them. Can you come take some of them? Just take whatever you want. Come take the clothes. Have you been so blessed that you just write the name of 10 individuals and look, I just want to send you 10,000 rands. So verse 10, this last verse, verse 7, I want you to read it like it's your personal prophecy. Are you ready for that? Let's do it together. One, two, go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment and I ask that you take my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Cause me to speak a word in season to a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who is in dear need of your word. Bless everyone tonight. Let your name be glorified. Let Jesus stand exalted here. In Jesus the Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Can I have a good amen? All right, please be seated in the presence of the Lord. So the theme of this program is finishing strong. Finishing strong. The end of a thing is always better than the beginning thereof. Life does not reward you for how you get started. The reward of life is always in the end of the game. Nobody gets rewarded for playing well in the first half. Ultimately, crowns are given and medals are given when people finish the race. It doesn't really matter how I start. As much as starting is very important, how you start is important. But never forget that my beginning may be poor in terms of how I started due to lack of information, lack of connection, lack of relationships and all of that. Exposure, education, encounters and experiences can affect how you start. But it doesn't necessarily have to limit how you end. If anybody started better than you did, it's because of four things. They had better experience, better exposure, better education, better encounters. Is that okay? But the beautiful thing about life is that these four variables that truly defines the outcomes of life, they are all increasable variables. What that means is that although I didn't have it at the beginning, I can have it in the middle and I can finish strong with it. It is a reason why sometimes those who had it at the beginning, particularly children who come from wealthy homes, if you notice somewhere along the line, they lose momentum. And then you find kids who are hungry, who started in a very terrible way because they are hungry. You find that, they increase education, encounter, exposure, and experience. And over time, they get to bypass those who have gone before them. The point I'm trying to make here today is that it is very possible that your beginning was rough. It is very possible that your beginning was totally bad. You had a bad start, okay? I understand that because I'm a little bit of an athlete. Is that okay? I played handball. And I've seen situations in championships whereby we were almost like 10 points behind until about 15 minutes towards the end of the game. And the team we were playing against were already excited about the fact that they have already won. By no means can we score 10 goals within 15 minutes. And somewhere along the line, as a result of losing their coordinates and then their momentum, here we come from behind and we just keep pounding and pounding and pounding. And not only did we wipe out the deficit, we also had surplus. Please let me touch your neighbor and say to your neighbor, it's not over yet. Oh, come and talk to the person. Say to the person, it's not over yet. Oh, yeah, it's not over yet. It's not over. The beautiful thing about life is that it only takes one night for your life to change. It only takes one morning for your life to change. It only takes one phone call for your life to change. It was just one night Esther passed in front of the king. Other girls have passed for a whole year. Let me say this, finishing strong. Now here we have a situation, woman of God, whereby for a whole year, other girls have been summoned before the king. And for whatever reason, Esther kept asking, why am I the only one that has not been invited? Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? And sometimes we feel that way. Why is it that everybody is getting invitation for interviews? Why is it that everybody is going for their masters and I'm just left behind? Possibly you will get to realize today that the reason why you were kept to the end or you are left until the end, or possibly the reason why God has chosen to allow yours to come in the end, is because what is about to come is going to stand out. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And that's the scripture that I want to show you today. Why will a man toil all night when everybody catches something and then he caught nothing until morning? And then when it came in the morning, his own break, his own catch, happens to be the type nobody had ever had. Is it possible that the delay is because it's going to be outstanding? Are you listening to me here? Is it very possible that the reason why I'm not yet married is because if I'd been married, I would have been divorced? Is it possible that when I wanted to be married, is it possible that at that time it was a girl that wanted to be married and the girl would have married a man who would not have been able to live with the girl, but now become a woman, the one that the kind of man that God is bringing into my life can live with and appreciate and value? Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Please let me touch your neighbor. Say, it's not over yet. I used to remember, I shared with them in our church. I used to remember that up till 2009, I have a friend, a wonderful friend of mine. He will come to South Africa. My wife is laughing because she knows that story. From the moment we got married, it's as if this guy was just sent to afflict me. I'm telling a woman of God, he would just come, hello, Reverend Sam, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. He said, Emuji, I need to talk to you right now. I'm in South Africa. And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? He said, I'm going to preach now. He said, I'm on my way to the church. He said, you see that scripture where a woman lost her son? That woman that had a widow. Yeah, a widow. She lost her. That, where is that scripture in the Bible? I'm on my way to the... Hello, God. Pastor. And I'll give it. I just give him the scripture. And so, thank you, Emuji. The next thing is calling me, sir, Reverend Sam, I'm in America. And I'm like, listen to me. Did I send you out? Why must you always report to me? What have I done to be your reporting center? And then the worst matter is, and then you'll be showing me how incompetent you are. And be telling me, sorry, Reverend Sam, there's this particular scripture. Man of God, can you just quickly write 3 points for me? So I go to God and I'm like, God, I have the points. He has the trips. Is anybody here who understands what I'm talking about? Do you know what means of friends to be asking you for the solution? Demonstrating their incompetence and yet they are having the benefits and you have the solution but you have nobody. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? You know the job, but nobody's hiring you. Those who don't know the job, they are getting you to render service to them. And I'm like, God, what have I done wrong? So I said, Lord, please, even if it's Ghana, not just say it again. Send me, Lord. What have I done wrong? Okay, Lord, listen, God. Even if I can't go to inside Ghana, can I just look? Let me just cross the border and then I'll come back. If you give me a phone call when I cross the border, I say, Reverend Sam, where are you? I say, I'm out of the country. Right? And then as soon as I cross back into the country, Reverend Sam, where are you? I just came back into the country. Look, I just, God, do, I mean, I was like, God, do something. And he did this from 2002 to 2008. Sometimes he sends me pictures. What have I done wrong? But I just kept it. Just kept building my capacity. Building my capacity. I wasn't sure when God would show up for me. But I knew it's a matter of time. So all the days of my appointed time, I will wait. But in waiting, I'll not be wasting. Whilst waiting, I'll be building capacity. And indeed, my time came. My turn came. And all of a sudden in 2009, so he takes himself out. But this time right, it was the United States government that said, hey, in the whole of Nigeria, you are the only person we're picking. We love your leadership competence. We'd like you to come and interact with the United States. We'd like you to come and talk with us and walk with us and do stuff with us and we will pay you. He spent his money, I'm paid. He spends money to stay in hotels. I have 3 U.S. agents assigned to me, veterans, to carry my bags, to attend to me, to ensure I am safe. Flying across the United States, I have people assigned to ensure I'm comfortable. I would take videos and I would show my wife. I said, my wife, look at the hotel. Look at the suite. I'm talking about 58th floor in New York. And then you are in a place where you have an entire living room so massive. And then you talk about bedrooms, you talk about all for you alone. And I take the video and I said, my wife, I wish you were here. And then I found myself in San Jose in California. And this guy again called. This time around, it's going to be fire for fire. You got it. So when he called, I'm like, yeah. Now listen, there are moments in your life where you just need to change your English. You just need to, it's not that anything has changed, but you just change it. Is that okay? Just to reflect the fact that all things have passed away. So then he called me and it was like, hey, Reverend Sam, Emoji. I'm like, yeah, fine. How are you doing? He said, fine. He said, I didn't even say anything. He said, I heard you're in America. Like I never thought you would ever be there. I say, yes, I'm in America. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in California. I'm in San Jose. Oh, he said, San Jose. He said, I know San Jose. I've been around San Jose, you know. Again, just to make sure that I feel like he has covered. So there's nowhere for me to go because he has covered everywhere, you know. So Have you met people like that? Just so in the end of the day, you're just like, God, where do I go to get all? There's no way. They've covered planet Mars. They've gone to Jupiter, Uranus, oh Lord. Maybe I should just go up. Maybe I should go to space. And then he was like, oh, no, I know San Jose. And I said, oh, fantastic. And he said, what hotel are you staying in? I said, Fireman. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, don't say that. It's too expensive. He said, I stay in San Jose. There are places you can stay. You pay small money and that will waste your money. He said, I know you are new in America. You're wasting your money. That's too much money. How much are you paying? He said, what kind of room are you? I said, no, I'm not staying in a room. I said, I'm staying in a suite in San Jose. He said, no, 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 no. He says, man of God, that's six. He said, how much is it? And I told him how much the suite cost per night. As at that time, it was about $1,000. 2010. Per night. He said, what? I said, yes. I'm going somewhere. And then he said, man of God, I can show you a place where you can stay. I said, no, no. I said, I'm not complaining. I said, I'm comfortable, sir. Because in the first place, I'm not the one paying. I said, no, don't bother complaining. I said, I'm all right here. He said, wow, man of God, you have that kind of money? I said, don't worry about it. I'm just comfortable here. And in 1 month, I entered places in all of his 10 years he can't come close to. From the Department of Justice to California Council to Pensacola Council, name them to government, Ministry of Education, sit down with them, help them resolve issues. And when I was leaving, sir, they brought me money in 2010. I saw dollars in thousands. I was afraid. And then a scripture came to my mind. Better is the end than the beginning thereof. Please help me touch someone around you who is thinking of committing suicide because of what you see happening to others. Not knowing that what is about to come your way will make theirs a child's play. Please help me hold somebody by the hand and say, stay alive. You don't know who you're talking to. You better tell that person, stay alive. What is coming is big. Stop looking at their houses. When it's your turn, their houses will become like chalets. Stop looking at their cars. When your season comes, that will be something your drivers use. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Please help me hold somebody again and tell the person, hold on to the end. So the scripture before us, within the few minutes that I have, the scripture before us, a very powerful scripture. It has to do with Peter, who had gone all night to fish. And think about this. Peter went out to fish all night. He had the right skills. He had the right tools. He had the right experience. He went to the right location. Everything about Peter that night was right. He went to the right boat. He went at the right time. He went to the right partners. And he did the right thing. But the Bible says when it was morning, on this particular lake called the Lake of Gennesaret, the funny part of this lake is that this lake can hold as much as about 3,000 sheep per night. So let's say by virtue of benchmarking, okay, let's assume that that night, averagely, we had about 1,000 sheep or boats. By morning, everybody had had a catch and they had gone home. And for some reasons, which is what I call selective dealings. For some reasons, Peter's boat and his own partner were the only boats that caught nothing. Have you ever had what I call a selective experience in life? Where amongst your siblings, it seems your life is different. Amongst your peers, you went to the same university, they even learned from you. But it seems that your life is selectively taken apart for some very awkward experience. It's called selective dealings. Why am I Mary, the only one among other virgins, who will now be telling everybody I'm pregnant without a man sleeping with me? Why must I go through such a selective dealings? So there are moments like that in our lives when we go through what we call selective dealings. And here's what I want to say to you. If you are the Joseph who is going through a selective experience, and I'm talking about the fact that amongst your father's sons, you're number 11. But you're the only one that has a dream. For God's sake, you didn't create the dream. Why will you give me a dream? You're the only one that saw the 11 others bowing to you. You're the only one that has a coat of many colors. Eventually, you're the only one that was put into a pit. You're the only one that was sold. You're the only one that had to go to the house of Potiphar, give your best, and then you got the worst. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? Selective dealings. If you're wondering why me, you better calm down, because you might just be a Joseph. Something has been making you to think and feel that your selective experience is because God hates you, or maybe you carry a curse in your life. Sweetheart, before you pronounce a curse on yourself, you better ask yourself a question. If you were Joseph and you went to a deliverance pastor and you say, "Sir, my brothers hate me. My brothers put me in a pit. They sold me. I ended up in the house of Potiphar. The wife also turned around and lied against me." With all this series of events, what do you think a deliverance pastor will tell you? You are under what? A curse. Am I correct? But here you are, you don't even know that this young man with these selective dealings was actually going through a process of development for the assignment that is before him. Am I talking to anybody in this house today? Please help me touch your neighbor, say, stay in the fight. Are you a David in the house going through selective dealings? You are the only one that your brothers hate. You are the one your father is not proud to present. You are the one that is left with the sheep, and yet you are the youngest. You came back home to tell them a lion came to devour the sheep, and you tore the lion apart. Why should a father allow a 17 or 16 year old go back to a place where lions come to devour the sheep? Is there a plan in the family to ensure that you are exposed to wild beasts so that you can be killed? Is somebody not proud of you as David? And so they are looking for ways to get rid of you in such a way to not be traceable to them. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Why would you allow me go back to a place where lions and bears normally function? And then when the prophet came and said, he's looking for your sons, you didn't even remember to invite me amongst your sons. How can a true father forget his son on such an important day? Among all your sons, I'm the only one that has fought for the sheep. I'm the only one that defended them with my life. I thought I should be the number one to be invited on such a day. How is it that the one that gives the most to the family is the one that was remembered the least? When you're going through such a thing in life, sometimes the tendency is to think you're under a spell. It's to think that something is wrong with you. We call it selective dealings. And usually such things happen to people that God has a great plan for. And so we see the situation whereby Peter toiled all night, caught nothing. And so in the morning, something happened. The Bible says that Peter got his boat and his net. Watch this. Instead of going home, one of the things you never do is to go home the way you're feeling. So Peter said, the way I'm feeling, this is not the best way to go back home to my wife. And I'm talking to the men here. Find a way to calm yourself before you get back home. Don't transfer aggression to innocent people. Don't let your innocent wife become the victim of what happened on the sea. Your wife was not the reason why the fishes left the sea. Your wife is not the reason why you didn't catch a fish. Don't let her become the victim of it. And so Peter said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay back here. And I'm going to process the reason why I did not catch a fish. And so he sat down, picked up his net, and they began to, some scriptures say wash the net. Another scripture say mend the net. Whatever the case is, whether you are washing or mending, the point is that he was beginning to say, wait a minute, is it possible that my network is too porous? Or number two, is it possible that my network is dirty? Is there something, if I'm washing the net, it just might mean that my net has some repellent in it that makes the fish to back off? Oh, come and talk to me, somebody. I don't have all the time. That's why I'm trying to rush on some few points here. Why are the fishes away from me? Maybe I should wash my net. Help me touch your neighbor and say, wash your net. Yeah. Maybe sometimes the reason people don't like coming close to you. Why am I this beautiful and nobody wants to come? It might just be some attitude repelling stuff. Maybe the attitude repels people. Maybe your behavior repels people. You're beautiful, you're handsome, but there's a repellent in your attitude and behavior. And say, so listen to me. I don't need to blame anybody for what is wrong with me. Can I wash my net? I need to wash this attitude. I need to wash this behavior. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? How can I come to where everybody's making profit and I lose? How can I come to a place where everybody is getting customers and I lose? I need to wash my net. I need to wash my strategy. I need to wash my packaging. I need to wash my placement. I need to wash my position. I need to wash my location. I need to clean up some stuff. He said, let me wash the net. And if it is mending the nets, it might just be possible that I attract, but I don't keep. Because the net is porous. So can I mend my net? It's like I attract people a lot. People always take interest in me, but they don't stay with me. They promise me and they change their minds. Because my net doesn't keep. Help me touch your neighbor and say, mend your net. So Peter, because of time, I need to get out of that. I wish I can talk to business people. So Peter had to stay there, began to wash his net and mend his net. At that point, listen, whilst he was doing what he must do, Jesus began to walk towards him. There are things that God expects us to do that attracts him and his presence into our lives. We don't do things to be saved. But then there are things we do after we are saved that makes God's presence to be strong in our lives. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And so Peter had to quickly start washing his hands. And Jesus said, wow, look at what this guy is doing. She's working on herself. She's learning emotional intelligence. Oh my goodness. I see her taking a course on positive intelligence. Wow. This guy's taking a course on anger management. I love what he's doing now. And as this guy is walking on himself, the Lord began to draw close to him. Am I talking to somebody? That's God. This business owner is beginning to look at your strategy. You're beginning to look at your tactics. You're beginning to look at your structure, your system. You're beginning to look at your policies. You're beginning to look at your packaging, your products, your content. You're beginning to look at the audience, audience analysis. Who am I sent to? How am I connecting with my audience? A lot of that. As you began to do all of that, the Lord said, look at this person. Look at what this. And the Lord drew near. And when the Lord got to him, the Lord said, hey, Peter, I want you to give me your boat. Can you put in my hand what is not your harvest? So the boat is not your harvest. The boat is the seed you take into the sea so you can get a harvest called a fish. Unfortunately, right now, this boat is not working for you. Can you give it to me? Can you yield your boat to me? And he said, Master, rather than get offended, I said, the only thing I have left. He said, no, Master, you can have my boat. And Jesus stepped into the boat. Take note. Stepping into the boat presupposes that Jesus was originally not in the boat. Is that a good argument? Fantastic. So it means that he was fishing all night without Jesus. And someone is at that point right now in the year whereby, oh my God, I've told the year is coming to an end and I'm finishing empty. The year is coming to an end, I'm finishing weak. But why? You will realize with me that many of us always start the year with the Lord, but somewhere along the line, if anybody understands what I'm saying here, wave your hand me. Somewhere along the line, quickly, can I have a brother? Brother, come, sir. If you don't mind, come quickly. Let's walk together. Two of you guys. Thank you, sirs. Okay. So this is the big, this is January. Okay. Put your hands on his shoulder. Yes. Now, this is January. This is normally what happens in January. So we begin the year. My Lord, Father, go ahead of me. All right. Okay. So as we begin into January, watch the begin to go in January. Start catching. No, put your hands there. Now start catching up with the Lord. Yeah. Start catching up with him. Start moving ahead of him. Mm-hmm. Now move on. Move on. Move on. Now, this is us. Go back to where he left you. This is you and I in November. And like Peter, Jesus shows up by the sea. And he said, Peter, how are you? I said, fine. So how's he doing? How are you getting on? And you left me to fish. You left me to get married. Yeah? I was leading you in January like I led Eve. Because when I made Eve, when I made her to practice submission before she met a man. Follow me, Eve. So I made her and I tested her submission capacity. Follow me. And here is Eve following the Lord without asking the question, where are you taking me to? It is a demonstration of what we call trust. I trust you to lead me, which is a critical factor in any woman that will be married, particularly to a visionary man. God will give a man a vision that he can't practically articulate. He can't tell you in detail where are we really heading to, but I know we're going somewhere. Eve, follow me. And she followed him, and he brought her to the man. So when he made her and she opened her eyes, the first person she saw, the man of God, who was the first person Eve saw? I would ask you again. When God made Eve, and she opened her eyes, who did she see first? Okay. I think this is very interesting. Sir, can I have you? You're making me deviate from my point. Can I have you here, sir? So, where did God create man? Where did God create man? Say it again. Say it loud and clear. Say it like a choir. The guys, I'm not hearing your voice. You don't even know where you are created, guys. All right, guys, where were you created? You know what I love about the voice of men is that you won't know who spoke anything. You won't know. But for the women, you would tell. That's the lady who said it. So man was not created in the Garden of Eden. Man was created in Eden. Consider all of this place to be Eden. This whole place is Eden. So God created man in Eden. So when man opened his eyes,
The first person that man saw was who? Say it again. That is why any man who is going to succeed in life must learn to wake up and see God first. Are you getting what I'm saying here? If a man is going to walk in dominion, men who walk in dominion are men who wake up. When they wake up, they don't open their eyes first to social media. They don't go on porn sites. Men who walk in dominion don't go on WhatsApp first. No. Men who go walk in dominion, they don't call a lady first and tell her, can you come on video? No. A real man who will walk in dominion, the first person he must see is who? Can I hear you loud and clear? So the first person man saw was God. Is that okay? All right. So what then happened was that when God created man, the next thing God did was that the Bible said God then created a garden. Eastward, east. So meaning God created a garden away from where God created the man. So garden is where he goes to work. The presence of God is where he lives. That is why every man that will be successful in life will go to Eden to go and work. After he has walked in Eden, he returns back to the presence of God. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? You return to the presence of God. So God created the garden eastward. Now, in the garden, the Bible says God caused the man to sleep. All right? And then, whilst at work, he caused the man to sleep. And then, watch what God did. God took a rib from the man. All right? And God used it to create a woman. Now, watch this carefully. Not in the same place where the man was sleeping. So, woman was not created where the man was present. It is the reason why man is still confused till tomorrow about the making of a woman. Women remain a mystery to men till tomorrow. Because in the first place, their making was out of our sight. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So it's the reason why sometimes when your wife does something like, what is this? You will always be saying, what is this for the rest of your life? Okay? Because she was made out of your sight. In fact, you were not even allowed to be awake to see the process. You were not allowed to peep into the process. You were sedated to sleep. You only woke up, watch this now, when God finished creating the woman. Who was the woman? Who is the woman here now? Who did I use? So watch this carefully. So when God created the woman, watch what he did. Who is Adam now? Adam. You're there. Fantastic. So watch this, people of God. When God created the woman and she opened her eyes, Adam was already asleep. The first person she saw was God. It is the reason why a woman that will be truly successful in life, the first person she must see every morning is not John. It's not Mac. It's not YouTube. It's not Snapchat. No, 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 no. She doesn't go on TikTok to do like this. No. No. She doesn't go on fan page to be doing all this. No, 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 no. A woman that God is going to bless, the first thing she does when she wakes up is to see him. Not only to see him. Come here now. Come lead. Come lead. She doesn't hold her hand. Hold her. Okay, maybe I should. These girls are making us look funny. Can you excuse? Can I have one of you? Sweetie, come quickly. Sweetie, come. These girls are making us look. You know what I see? They're just laughing at us. You guys don't know how to do it. All right, so hold his hand. Okay, so she opens her eyes, and who does she see first? Fantastic. And then watch this. I'm trying to show you where we've been missing it. And if you choose to continue the way you've been going before, you've only settled what the future will look like. This is how to break the jinx. You lead. See, when he began to lead her, he was testing submission. If you can't submit to me, I can't lead you to a man. Father, take me to my husband. God said, can I? Sweetie, come here. Wake up. Pray. Don't wear that dress. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? The dealings of God. Have you ever had a dress on you? You wear at your wardrobe? And when you... And you just had a whisper, not this. That little conversation you're having on small matters, that is the Father training you on submission. And then you say, no, I will wear what I bought this thing. I want to wear this thing. Ah. And listen, so listen, and you're like, God, why am I not seeing the man I'm supposed to marry? And God is saying, Lucidity, I'm working on you. And I'm preparing you for who I've already prepared. The man is prepared. Listen, Boaz is prepared. My worry is you. And I can't get you into his life to ruin the life of a man I've worked on. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So God is saying, sweetie, I'm going to try you in the morning. Your food is right there. Am I correct? Man, this is your favorite toast, and you know, it's chicken. This is what you love the most. And just when you want to have a bite, you hear fast. Wait a minute. Does God want to eat your food? Why are you telling me to fast? Is fasting going to make God bigger? So why does he need me to fast? Fasting is not the focus. Your submission is the focus. You're in the church, and Pastor was preaching. And I was like, today, praise the Lord, we're going to give. I want somebody to sow a seed. And you heard clearly the voice of the Lord saying, everything in your account. You're like, the devil is there. I rebuke. What? I already told my girlfriend I'm buying this particular sport car tomorrow. And the Lord said, do what? No. That's just God testing you. And the Lord took her by the hand and led her. And she followed, not knowing where she was going to. But trusting that the one leading her knows better. When he began to lead her, she did not give a phone call. Hello, Janet. Hi, Janet. How are you doing? Is this, God is like telling me to go this way. What do you think? No. No. Wherever he leads. And he took her. And when she got here, watch this. He did not force the man to marry her. Watch what he did. The moment he led her to him, as soon as she entered his space, the man who he made to sleep suddenly was made to wake up. Is it possible that God made him to sleep? So permit me to say, assuming there were other women, is it possible that God made him to sleep so he can see nobody else? Is it possible that God can make Boaz to sleep and he's seeing women in his garden working, but he had no desire for any of them? Is it possible that God will keep the desire of the man until you come? Is it God who can hold the desire of the man until the woman is preparing shows up? God doesn't have a problem with preparing the man. God has an issue with making the woman. Are you aware that the creation of the man was with ease? But the making of the woman required a process. It required a lot of thoughtful process. The inclusion of a rib from the man. So that when the woman shows up before the man, she's not only coming with everything he has in smaller version. So watch this carefully. When the man saw her, the first thing he looked at was not the fact that he has a flat chest and she has a bigger one. You see, that's the benefit of the wife. God gives her something bigger than what he has. Everything God gives a woman bigger or better than what he has. But there's something that makes her a wife. And that is the fact that when he saw her, he didn't see breasts, he didn't see bumps, he didn't see BBL. So I don't know why you're laughing. Your mind is supposed to be holy. Watch this carefully. The moment the man saw her, the first thing he said, can I see what is missing in me? Because what is missing in me is the bone. And bone speaks of structure. Bone is what keeps him standing. Bone carries him. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? So when God created man, he made him incomplete. So the woman that is coming into his life must carry something that supports his structure. That's why she's a help meet for him. Follow me carefully. So she brought him. He brought her to the woman. And the moment he saw her, he said, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh. There was an instant knowing, this is my wife. There was an instant knowing. Thank you guys. You can go back quickly. Are you following me right now? So one of the things you need to learn is what Peter learned. Jesus shows up and Jesus said to him, I know you've toiled all night. He said, but I'm telling you now. And it's like it's the end of the year, right? And the reason you've toiled all night is what I'm showing you. I'm entering your sheep to let you know that the reason you've toiled all night was because I was out of it. Somewhere along the line, if you be truthful with yourself, you began the year with him. But as the year progressed, you kept on moving on, doing things without consulting him anymore. You bought the shoe, you bought the house, you bought everything without consulting the Lord. It's called a drift effect. Gradually, you were moving away from the Lord and you never knew. Gradually. And here you are in November now. And you know what Jesus is doing? He came to the shore and he looked at Peter. And he said, Peter, since you left me, listen to what Jesus asked him. He said, do you have any, say it again. What he said, do you have? Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you have any meat? Possibly he's very sure now that you have so much bone in your life. But do you have meat? And Peter said, Master, since we left you, we have gone back into toiling. And look at how we are finishing our lives. Look at the way we are rounding up the year. He said, that's why I came towards the end. Ain't you glad that you have a God who will step in towards the end? Because, and aren't you glad you have pastors who don't want you to finish the year the way it's going? How many of you want this year to finish better? You want to finish this year better than it is? Fantastic. So here's the game. The first thing we need to do here is to recognize the fact that finishing strong requires that we end the toiling. You can't finish strong toiling. That's why the only thing I want to focus in the next 31 minutes that I have, the major thing I want to focus on is how to end the toiling. Who is tired of toiling here? God sent me on an assignment tonight. It says, son, put an end to the toiling. Glory be to God Almighty. What is toiling? What is that word toiling? What is toiling? Now the beautiful thing is that it is a Greek word they call kopiao. K-O-P-I-A-O. That's the word toiling. And that word kopiao means to labor to the point of exhaustion. I came here to pray for just a few people tonight. Laboring to the point of exhaustion. You are tired. I'm speaking to you. You are tired. He said, Master, we have toiled all night and we caught nothing. And Jesus said, I know, that's why I came. I know, that's why I came here. And I came tonight to end the toiling. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. We've toiled all year. From January up till this moment. It will happen. It will happen. It will soon happen. It's coming. It's coming. They will soon do it. They will soon prove it. They will soon approve it. They will soon. And here's November. Toiling. What is toiling? Toiling, kopiao. It means laboring to the point of exhaustion. Working until you are weary. Working until you are weary and you are drained. Expending so much effort without commensurate results. So much effort is put into the whole thing. The ministry, the business, your family, the relationship with the guy. The relationship with the woman. So much effort is pushed into it. With no commensurate result. It's called toiling. Working so very hard and getting nowhere. I'm pushing in so much when I'm not moving. It's called the treadmill effect. My wife likes running. She'll tell me she has run 25 kilometers. I said, where did you go to? She said, sweetheart, I ran 25 kilometers. I said, in the same house? I said, you were upstairs. You just came down. Now you were upstairs. You went upstairs to the gym and you're down. You've gone 25. From where to where? It's the treadmill effect where you're expending energy and you are giving some kind of assumption that you are making progress only to find that after 25 kilometers by impression, you are still in the same place. I want to pray for somebody dealing with that today. Toiling. It has to end tonight. Hallelujah. It has to end tonight. Kopiao, toiling. It has to end tonight. Hard work without result. It has to end tonight. Motion without progression. It has to end tonight. Efforts without evidence. Pushing in so much effort, but there's no evidence. It has to end tonight. Glory be to God Almighty. Sowing without reaping. Always investing without commensurate return on investment. It's called kopiao. It's called toiling. Starting full and finishing empty. Started the year full and now here you are finishing December empty. It happened to the woman called Naomi. She went to the land of the Moab with three men in her life. She came back with none. I've seen people who started the year with millions and ended the year with nothing. Borrowing and begging. Kopiao. Toiling. There are people that started the year with so much hope and so much excitement. But right now they are empty of hope, empty of excitement. Why? It's emptied. In the place of prayer, the Lord said to me, there are seven kind of toilings taking place in some person's life here. There are seven group of people I want to pray for here today. It was revealed to me clearly. Number one, there is somebody under the sound of my voice. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. The Lord said, you are having what I call toiling in your career. Career toiling. Yes. The Bible says you will be the head and not the tail, but that's not your story. See, in your office, they recognize your effort. They recognize your intelligence. The only thing they don't do is reward your intelligence. You know I'm talking to you here. Everybody knows you have worked so very hard. I was talking with a lady a few days ago, and she said to me, she said, Reverend Sam, she said, I was the one that worked with my boss when the company was very small. She said, I worked with them. I was everything. I was human resource. I was publicity. I was everything. Just name it. I was marketing officer. I was everything. He said, now the organization has grown so big in the country. Say, it's so shocking to realize that those who joined me after the organization started and we built it up are promoted consistently over me. Said, I've never been promoted once. I said, sweetheart, come close. I said, it's called a veil effect. When you are veiled, you can be so close to somebody that can change your life. And all of you are very close to very powerful people. You better be careful, because the people that are easily forgotten are those who are very close to those who are very powerful. There's a veil effect. So much so that they see others who are outside of their space and they keep promoting them, giving them money. But you, they will say, don't worry, I'm coming. The veil effect can catch up between a husband and a wife. The husband is dashing people money, buying cars for them. And the wife, he just can't see her need. It's a veil effect. So there are people under the sound of my voice that God wants to minister to within the next 25 minutes that are dealing with what I call career toiling. You're toiling in your career. As a result of that, you're having delayed promotion. Delayed promotion. So you've not been promoted for a while. Invisible results. Stagnant growth. Your career, you're not progressing. And you can't finish this year like that. Something has to shift. Somebody driving me, somebody was assigned two-way. When I came into South Africa a few days ago, we have some security, I think it's a security company. They are into, you know, driving VIPs. You know, so two of them happen to be children of God. So the driver and then the other person was supposed to be like a bodyguard or whatever they called him. And somewhere as I was ministering at the program, people just noticed that he was screaming. Instead of him doing his security job, he was screaming because the word of God was getting into him. That very night when they dropped me at the hotel, the next day he came back to me and said, Pastor, he said, sir, who are you? I said, what happened? He said, after we dropped you, as soon as we're going on, he said, sir, ask my brother who was driving. He said, the power of God just came on him and he kept praying in the car until they got home. I said, that's the mantle of my life. I carry the mantle of prayer and favor. I said, your life will never be the same again. The next day, he was talking to me on our way back from the church where I went to minister on Sunday. And we're talking on the way. He said, Pastor, he just kept engaging me. He said, Pastor, I know this is unethical, but I have to talk to you. He said, sir, my wife and I are having some issues. He said, but when you were teaching, God opened my eyes and I began to see through your teaching the solution to the problem in my family. And then when we're done with that, he then called me again and he said, Pastor, look at what has happened. So he said, can you please pray for me? When we got to the hotel yesterday, before he dropped me, he said, would you please pray for me? I said, I never stop. I never do without praying for those that carry me around. I said, let's pray together. I said, in the name of Jesus, within the next 12 months. He said, Pastor, I'm out of job. He said, this job I'm doing is my brother who is the driver that gave me this job so that I can at least have something to take home. I said, in the name of Jesus, within the next 12 months, you will know that you met with God. Only for him to call me this morning when they came to carry me. My wife and I were in the vehicle. He said, Pastor, what kind of God is your God? He said, I want to come to Abuja and sit under you for 1 month. He said, I want to serve you. He said, if in just serving you for 3 days, look at what has happened to me. I said, what is it? He said, this morning they got a phone call from his wife's office saying that he, a man who had nothing, should become the supplier of books to schools in 4 districts. 4 schools. He said, Pastor, this is going to change my life completely. He said, Pastor, not that I applied. He said, they called me and were telling me, can you start with 4 schools? Something is about to shift in your life today. Hallelujah. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. The Lord said, your toiling is toiling in business. Toiling in business. You are dedicated to the business. You give your all to the business. You work so very hard, but little or no results. That's what you see. Like Peter, you toiled all night, dedicated your all to it. Low profit, high activity, no result, no growth. You're tired, you're exhausted, you don't know what next to do. And it's looking like, is this how the year's going to end? No. You're going to finish strong. I didn't have an amen. You're going to finish strong. Number 3, there's somebody here toiling in ministry. Yours is toiling in ministry. You plant, you water,
but you don't see increase. And that is the most saddest part of it. You are doing everything you're supposed to do. You're planting, you're watering, but you're not seeing the harvest. No harvest, little impact, slow growth. You're frustrated. And God sent me to pray for you today. Amen. Number four, very quickly, toiling in relationship. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. That's the problem. You're toiling in relationship. You invest time. You invest energy. You invest emotions. You invest your body. You invest your house. She lives in your house. You're not married yet. She lives in your house. You invest the house. You're also sponsoring her school. But now you're beginning to find out that whilst in your house, she's using your internet to chat with her lover. Sweetheart, you house him. You brought him into your house. Don't look at your friend. Don't let anybody know you are the one I'm talking about. I feel like reaching out to you. I'll just pull you out here. You invited me to your house. I really feel so much for you. You invited me to your house. He lives in your house. Having husband benefits without husband commitment. Dinging without ringing. He now drives your car. You use Uber. Help me slap a sister next to you. Are you the one he's talking about? Just help me. Like slap a sister. Say, are you the one? Help me lay hands on the sister. Say, I turn you loose. You buy him Ferragamo, Louis Vuitton. Because in your mind, if you dress a lizard, he will become a lion. You send money into his account. He sits in the house and watches your DSTV. You go to work, you come back in the night, and then he's like, hey, see, I've been hungry since morning. You jump into the kitchen, you cook for him. And then before you sleep again, he takes you through four rounds. And you're like, Pastor, please help me, I'm about to die. Nobody's killing you, you're killing yourself. Toiling. Only for you to stumble now on a chat between him and his sweetheart. And the names he's never called you. You will see names like, my sweetest, Lerato. Only for you to realize that when you go home, Lerato comes in the morning after you go to the office. Lerato resumes work in his house, in your house. And Lerato enjoys the house. They use your house. They have fun in your house. They even do video on from your room. And when you are coming back home, that's when they close work. You're toiling. And the saddest part is that this has always been your trend. You bring them into your house. You take care of them. You nurture them. You nurture them. You nurture them. Forgetting that you're not supposed to mother a man. You're supposed to help a man. You are not called to carry a man. You're supposed to help a man. And you are not to help any man who is not doing something with his life. That's why God took Eve to Adam in his garden. Toiling. And it happens over and over. There's somebody here, yours is not toiling in a relationship. Yours is actually toiling in marriage. You're doing everything you can. Giving everything to your spouse. But you're getting little or nothing in return. You're frustrated in the marriage. You're pouring in, but your spouse is not reciprocating. You're tired in this marriage. You're toiling in the marriage. Number six is toiling in finances. Toiling in finances. Constantly earning but not saving. You've earned so much, but here we are at the end of the year. You have nothing to show in terms of savings. Your money has not multiplied. You're almost as broke as someone who doesn't earn money. The only thing you have to show that you are working class is your clothes. No property, no investment, no treasury bills, no bonds, no money in any money market, nothing.
The only thing you consider as assets are your shoes. Nothing. Wigs. Wigs are your assets. Eyelashes. The long ones, the medium size, the... Listen, you know you are alive, people, and I'm not, everything I'm talking to you about tonight is not about you. I'm telling you about what's happening to ladies out there and some people out there. Because alive people are precious, yeah? But in case you just, maybe you just join alive and you don't know our culture, we don't invest into eyelashes. It's not an investment. Wigs are not investment. We know that here in our life. Is that okay? We know that wigs are not investment. Shoes are not investment. We don't invest into acrylic fingers. No. No, no. Imagine that you do like this and people say, my goodness, because of what you just did now, I send you $10 million. No. In fact, the more of it you use, the more people begin to question what kind of person you are. Where's your investment? It's not that God wasn't good to you this year. God was good. You made money. You made a lot of money this year. The problem was you were very poor in managing money. And lastly, you were not good at multiplying money. So here you are toiling like someone who's never touched money. That toiling has to end tonight. There are people who are toiling generally in life here. And I'm going to pray for you. Your purposes are unfulfilled. You're just living a purposeless life. You wake up from January to December. There's no captivating assignment that your life is deployed towards. You just live as the wind blows. So your friends will come and meet you. Hello, Janet. I'm going to Cape Town. Can you join me on a road trip? I'm not doing anything with my life, so I can join you. Let's go. And you zoo away. You zoo, and because it's a road trip, you stop, you eat, you drink. And you're like, oh my God. Guys, look at us. That's fun. Life being wasted is called fun. Oh, guys, look at us. By the beach with your bikini wears, running all over the place on the beach. And the guys, fun. We're having fun. And then you are done. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful time. 1 week is gone out of your life. You get back home. It's time to sleep. And then go on Snapchat. Go on Facebook. You scroll, your life is just scrolling. Morning till night, scrolling. The worst part now, maybe you've joined fan, what do you call them? Only fan. You've joined them. And you're a child of God by day, only fan by night. But you are trusting God to bless you with a Boaz. But you are hanging out daily with bozos. Again, what I'm sharing with you is something you need to go and share with your friends out there. It's not for you here. Is that okay? You are fantastic people, I tell you. Amen. I have 11 minutes, but you're enjoying yourself. And I have to quickly. What are the causes of toiling? What are the causes of toiling? Number one, starting without God's presence and approval. Listen, sweetie, you start the relationship, without God's approval. And by the way, listen to what I said. Starting without God's approval and presence. So it's possible that God will tell you, it's all right. Marry him. If I were you, I would be like Moses. I'll say, Lord, I know you told us to go to the promised land. So we have the approval to go there. But you know what Moses said? If your presence will not go with me, I will not move from here. I refuse to have a man and lose God. I refuse to have a wife and lose God. Because I will need God to keep a wife. I will need your presence to keep the woman. I will need your presence to keep the man. I'm a preacher, but I'm at home. When you are at home in a church that belongs to your friends, you don't preach, you teach. My assignment is to help build and add value to the work here, I'm not here to impress you. I can preach. I've done that in my 20s and 30s. Are you okay that I'm teaching you? Are you being blessed? And my decision is not to be heard, it's to be understood. I want to make sure that in your dream, you'll be hearing my voice. When next you want to wear your dress, you'll be hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. Don't wear that one. You're a royal prince. You're a royal priesthood. Sweetheart, do you know who you are? You're royalty. Look at Mama, for God's sake. You're royalty. Huh? And as royals, we let God lead us to the man. We don't push this so the man can be led to us. So what did I say now? Sorry. Did I just say that? Okay. How do you want to have a progressive man when you use your backside to catch him? Think about it. You use your backward direction to capture a man that should be leading you to the future. And I thank God for the kind of men we have in this house. These are the kind of things they are looking for. They are looking for structure. They are looking for capacity. When they see a woman, they are asking a question, is she a help meet for me? The word help meet means she has what it takes to ensure that I accomplish what God has given to me. Is that all right? So what are the causes of toiling in life? Starting without God's approval and presence. Did God say you should start it? A year of waiting on the Lord for direction is better than 10 years of roaming about. Wait until you hear from God. Wait. Let me touch your neighbor and say, wait. Stop calling pastor and say, pastor, please pray for me that they will return my money. Which money? Pastor, I saw them online. They call crypto. How much did you give them? $100,000. Wait. 100,000 rand? So you mean you even have 100,000 rand? And we didn't know in this church? How much have you given? What was the biggest offering you've ever given this church? 100 rand. Oh, so now somebody has taken your order. Pastor, I saw them online. I thought they said they were going to Prague. It would be 300,000. Who are the people? Pastor, I don't know. Where are they? I don't know. Where is their office? I don't know. Well, the only prayer for you is that the Lord will comfort you. And from this moment, you will learn to inquire from the Lord. Father, shall I pursue? Shall I invest? Shall I? Are you approving of it? It looks good. It looks nice. That it looks good doesn't mean it is God. But if it is God, it will be good. Starting without God's approval. Number two, partnering with the wrong people. You will toil if you partner with the wrong people. Partnering and associating with the wrong people is the reason for many toiling. Imagine having Jonah in your life. Sweetheart, just imagine, sir, The Bible said the merchants were on their way to Tarshish. And they saw this guy that looked so nice. Cute guy. And the guy spoke nice English. And they were like, oh yeah, join us. You know how that sometimes ladies can't resist baritone voice.
How you doing?
Like
if you take, how you doing?
Like if you take it to stock exchange, they'll give you money in return. Oh my God. And then, you know, some of you can't stand when somebody look at you and say,
oh my goodness, you just have some beautiful eyes. Oh my goodness.
Do me a favor, look at the lady next to you. Tell her you're beautiful. You have good eyes. Your nose is beautiful. Your lips are beautiful. Your face is fantastic. All right, sweetheart, from today, if any man looks at you again and say you are beautiful, tell him I've heard that before. Nothing triggers toiling in the journey of life like partnering and associating with the wrong people. Listen to me. You will take on fleas if you lie with dogs. Association brings impartation of spirit. You cannot be clean if you are in relationship with corrupt people. Sympathy with evil people, sympathy with them, is actually opening the door for the consequence that belongs to them. Your friend is in a nasty life. You know your friend is in the nudist club. You know that's where she's making her money from. And it's her wigs you are using. You can't tell her about Jesus. It's her shoe you brought to church. Because she buys very expensive shoes. And she's told you, any of my shoes you want to use, feel free, come pick them up. This one is 700,000 rand. The other shoe, that bag is something Ferragam. And that one is about $300,000, $300,000 rand. Any bag, any Sunday. So you go to a place, you pick up her shoes. But you know what she does? Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to the end, the Bible says, those who do such things, the Bible says God will deal with them and those who take pleasure in them. Reverend Sam, I don't do it, but I take pleasure in those who do it. Your friend is involved in the cult. Your friend is involved in traditional worship. You know that. But you can't tell your friends no, because through traditional worship, through water spirit, through all kinds of stuff that she does, she makes a lot of money. She tells you, when I go to men, they can't tell me no because of the traditional stuff that I do. Any man I go to, they give me job. And you are like, oh my God, you know, I can't do it. But what you get, you can give me. The Bible considers all of you to be the same. That's why you're toiling. That's the cause of toiling. Sympathy with evildoers. Benefiting from the reward of evil. You need to stop that. You can't continue like that until then. You have to finish this year strong. You know she's sleeping with somebody else's husband. You know the person coming to you is somebody else's husband. You know it. But he's giving you money. And the money is paying your house rent. And I understand the complexity, Reverend Sam. If I stop collecting money, how do I feed? How do I live? It shows where your faith is. And God is not happy, because that question shows that man has replaced God in your life. Number three, write this quickly. Operating outside divine timing. You step outside of God's timing, you've signed in for toiling. It's not the time for you to step into something, you go into it. Because friends, everybody's doing it. Pressure. Everybody's telling you, you are old. So you better go and get married. And out of pressure, you go into a relationship. You find a guy, you corner the guy, you corner the lady. You pressure the person. You get pregnant for the person. And you now say, look, now that we're pregnant, we must marry. And all that kind of stuff. So you go into it prematurely before the time of it. Toiling is the outcome of premature engagements. You will get what you want, but you will realize it's not what you need. And the sad part of premature engagement is that after you have engaged prematurely, you will now see what truly fits you. That is where adultery comes from. Because you've already committed yourself to the wrong person prematurely. Now that you are in this with this person, you are now seeing the weakness of this person. It's at that time you will now see the kind of person that truly deserves you. Number four, disobedience to divine instruction. Very powerful. Broken obedience blocks the blessing. Broken obedience blocks the flow of the blessing. You can't live in disobedience and have the flow of the blessing of God. Toiling is what happens when you consistently walk in disobedience. Christianity is simple if you understand how to work it. Christianity is just simply love the Lord your God with all thy matter, with all thy strength, with all, right? And love thy neighbor as thyself. Can I tell you the summary of it all? Jesus said, if you say you love me, obey my instruction. So the summary of Christianity is obedience to instruction. Do you get that? You can't obey toiling if you disobey instructions. Number five, expecting harvest without a seed. I don't know why you all screamed. Does that got at you? Does that get at you? I've never seen a generation of Christians, women of God, who believe Tamus karata, money cometh. Who said now? Money cometh to me. Now, I'm like, really? I learned praying 9 hours at the age of 15. By 24, I was praying longer hours. And after praying, I am broke. Man of God, I go pray. I pray. Those of you that know that I lead a global prayer movement every morning. You know that, right? So I still pray. But I'm not prosperous because I pray. I learned it the hard way. 1994 was my turning point. I prayed and prayed. And when we finished, there's no food. So and then we're living holy because my mentor taught me no sex before marriage. Yes. So until we got married, no sex. Yeah. That was all we were taught. No sex before marriage. Let me look at your neighbor, say that. No sex before. Hold your neighbor, say, look, my friend, I'm talking to you. Alive. Do we agree with that? So as I close with this. Expecting harvest without a seed showed me trouble. I toiled and toiled. Because what then happened was that I will pray, I live a holy life, and then there's no food to eat. Until one day I said, God, I'm tired of all of this. What is going on? And the Lord said to me, he said, son, you pray a lot. He said, have you noticed that people will always tell you, we're also praying for you? I say, what is going on here? And the Lord said, didn't I tell you in my word, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man is in the habit of sowing, that same thing shall he what? So you don't sow corn and expect to reap wheat. You don't sow orange seed and expect that it's going to produce what? Something else. Is that okay? And then I got married to my wife, and then it became clear. My wife has this habit of just blessing people with clothes. She's like a clothes production factory. She'll just look at you. She'll just, oh, I want to bless you. Bless you with clothes. And I have this grace of just blessing people with money. After that experience, so I learned that as you give, you prosper. So I gave my way to prosperity. I broke financial backbone of poverty and all that stuff, you know, through giving. Okay? So anywhere I go to, my wife knows that in the hotel we just came out from, oh no, sir. If we ask them for one thing, they'll bring us many. Because I give all of them their money. Every day I give them money. If I pass by in a hotel where people serve me, I give them money. So what I noted was that when we got married, money never stopped finishing. Money always meets money in my hands. But I didn't realize that I have to buy clothes. Then I realized people will come and meet me and say, sorry, sir, where's mama? And I'm like, and then they'll give her clothes. And I'm like, guys, how about me? Oh, they'll say, Papa, your own is coming. I said, why is my clothes always coming? And one day the Lord said to me, whatever you are in the habit of sowing. I said, now I get it. So what did I begin to do? I began to sew clothes. And when was the last time I think of going to place stores to buy clothes? Have you noticed if you're in the habit of praying for people, people will tell you they are praying for you. Check it up. If you're on your birthday, if you are the type on your birthday, you always send emojis to people. On your birthday. Are you here? So much to share. We'd have to let you go tonight. So someone is under the sound of my voice. How many of you want to come out of financial bondage here? It's not just two ways. Given. Break that backbone. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that tomorrow. Because tomorrow we're breaking generational patterns. Is that okay? And nobody's going to compel you. You want to speak to God and say, Father, tell me what to give. That's the best way to give. Father, tell me what to give. And then when I'm coming here, I simply come with my Isaac. Did you get that now? Before he left home, he was told what to bring to the altar. Did you get that? Before he left home, God said, take now, what? Thy son. And then he said, let's be clear, because I know you can take Ishmael. That diamond, the gold, the Rolex, take now that one. The one you love. The one you love. Help me hold your sister and say, the one you love. Say, take that one. Bring that to me. And he said, I want you to give it completely as a burnt offering. Burn it up. And see how I will show up in your life. You will see me swear where I've never sworn before. And as soon as he brought it to the Lord said, I swear. Solomon carried 1,000 burnt offering, what nobody in his family had ever given. He carried 1,000 burnt offering. He carried that and brought to God in Gibeah. Nobody, not even David, had ever done that. 1,000 burnt offering. Brought it to God. And said, God, I'm putting on the altar what nobody in my family has ever put on the altar. God showed up in the night. He said, Solomon, what did you do this morning? He said, Solomon, people normally look for me, but I'm looking for you. You did something this morning and I came to look. Don't look for me, I'm looking for you. What do you want? People tell me what they want. I'm telling you now to tell me what you want. And he said, God, I don't want. He said, well, Solomon, you disappoint. I came here to bless you. And you're asking for wisdom. He said, I give you more than what you're asking for. He said, I'm giving you what nobody in your bloodline has ever carried, because you release what nobody has ever released. I'm sharing with you the secret that changed my life 2008. When for the first time God told me, put $1,000 in my house. And I took it to the man of God, $1,000. Nobody in my bloodline has ever given God $100. What has God done? Broken open the door. Toiling can end. It can end. Am I talking to somebody here? I need to close.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.